You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
So just from the beginning, we are Christians. Patrice and I have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to pay for our sins and, you know, been forgiven by him. And so we are speaking from a Christian perspective, and you'll see as we go through the talk, that'll come out in different bits and pieces. So we're going to share, like the slide says, United Front in Parenting. And so we're going to share what we've learned and are still learning about how to be united in parenting, how being united helps us to be better parents. And as Sherry mentioned, we have four kids. They're all married. They have houses. They have jobs. They're paying their bills. So there is hope for everyone in this room. The days are long, but the years go by quickly, right? So anyway, but as I was thinking about that, we still have to be unified, even though our kids are in that situation. Because now, like, well, how much financial help do we give them? How much do we try to fix their houses? How much do we just talk to them about fixing their houses? You know, there's still things that are going on, so it probably never ends, though it probably gets a little bit easier. So what we're going to do is, first we're going to look at just things that characterize a unified marriage, then what makes it difficult to stay unified, why is it important to be unified, and finally, some ideas on to think about how to stay unified. So what characterizes a unified marriage, what makes it difficult, why is it important? How do we do it? So that's kind of where we're going. So here's our working definition. A unified marriage is when parents come together as a team to achieve the common goal of raising God-dependent, gracious givers. And so then, things that characterize a unified marriage. And so first thing is making time to talk about the kids and situations with each other. So there's always going to be competing demands, right? So for myself, working more than Patrice did, I know for me, I'd come home from work, and then you have to try to shift gears into the usual chaos of four kids. She didn't mention it, but our kids, we kind of crammed them all together. We had four and under. So there's a lot going on. The last two... Yeah, I see a lot of heads shaking out there. It's not for the faint-hearted, but we did. Three and four were twins, so that just was a bonus there. So anyway, there would be chaos typically when I got home. And so you'd have to enter into that, figure out what was going on. And there really wouldn't be time at that time to talk. You're just trying to get through everything. But later... we'd have to occur once the kids were in bed. And, you know, a lot of times by then you're really tired, but you still need to take the time to talk and communicate, and on, not necessarily daily, but on a regular basis. And that's where, you know, seeing this was important, just to be able to do that. And then also, you know, it says that God will give us the strength to do above all, beyond all we think and ask, according to the power that works in us. For those of us Christians, we do have the Holy Spirit, and we can rely on God's Spirit and his power to help us in times of need like that. Secondly, being able to give each other the benefit of the doubt and ask questions, because your spouse is going to make your decision. You're going to go, what? You know, and it's real easy to jump to conclusions or judgment. And so we need to be able to circle back and say, okay, now, why did you do that? And there could have been three other things going on that once you understood that, it made a lot of sense. But initially, it's real easy to not do that. So we have to, as a united team, be able to give each other the benefit of the doubt and understand why. We don't want to, and again, it might not have been the way that we would have done it, but let's not just assume that way, your way was the best way.
I have a great illustration of this where I was so wrong. Mike, when the kids were little, every once in a while he'd get to go golfing. And so he'd give me the best case scenario. I'll be home at 4. And I'm like, okay. So like any good mom at 4:05, I'm like, where the hell is he? He told me 4. So he'd show up late. I would automatically judge his motives. He is sticking me with the kids. That, bup. And then I'd be a martyr for like 10 minutes and then I explode. It was really ugly. So then finally we actually talked about it. And he said, well, I just gives you the best case scenario so you don't get mad at me because I get to go golfing. I'm like, no, give me the worst case scenario. But I realized the more I judged his motive and I would meditate on it and think about it and dwell on it, slam the dishes down while I'm washing them. I did not give him the benefit of the doubt at all. I judged his motives, and it was amazing how I thought, well, maybe he got stuck in traffic. Maybe something happened. And so that's an example of judging your husband's motives and being disunified as a result of that. So.
And then on the sinful side, I don't like conflict, so I would minimize things in order to make it a better case scenario. So I was not very good in that area myself. The willingness to apologize when you undermine the other spouse. So, you know, we're not going to do it perfectly, but we have to have a category where we're able to apologize to each other and our kids, which is really not fun to be able to, but we need to be able to do that as well. You know, recently we saw a situation where the dad said no. There's a discipline issue, and he said no, and then the mom turned around and overruled it and said yes and let the kid get his way when they shouldn't have, but they never resolved that. So he's saying no, she undermined him by saying yes, but it never got resolved. So that's a problem. Mm-hmm. It would have been great for the mom to go back and say, oh, crap, you know what? I really undermined you. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Because now this is a problem, and it's going to be out there at some level underneath the surface for the future. We're going to talk more about this later, but it is an important part of what it means to be diligent, to preserve the unity of your marriage, because that we'll bring the Ephesians 4:3 verse up, but working hard to be diligent to preserve the unity of your marriage. It doesn't mean, too, that you have to have all the answers or to be 100% sure of the decision. That would be an unrealistic expectation. But if you can come together, you do have greater confidence in situations, even if a lot of times things just are not black and white. So, but if you're unified, at least if you come to this decision, it's like, all right, this is the best we got. It may not be 100%, but we're going to go forward with what we have. It gives you more confidence. And you do want to present a unified front to the kids. That doesn't mean we'll do this again perfectly at all. But the more, and Patrice will get into this more later, but you know, kids are really good. If you're not unified, they'll exploit you. They don't need to be taught that. So anyway, as much as possible, we want to be unified to our kids. So then the next thing is, what makes it so difficult to stay unified? And there's lots of reasons, and so we'll just work through some of them. Complicated issues in parenting. And this is even more so for you guys than it was for us, because technology was just coming. Yeah. Now, you know, not only the cell phones and the screen time and, you know, and then as kids get older, there's all the social media things. And I mean, it's even in the, I don't know what we would say, the 15 or 20 years where our kids are now versus then, it's a lot more complicated. So that's a challenge. You know, fits, tantrums, discipline, how you deal with things like that. Bedtime, you know, when do you have bedtime? How do you go about it? Who does it? Just kind of trying to stay unified on that area. Eating. Now, I will, full disclosure, that plate was not anything most of my kids ate. I'm still, there's one of mine, I'm not sure he's ever eaten a vegetable yet, but yeah. Eating, you know, and just things like that. And then there's other things too, you know, there's the white lies, you know, where a kid comes in, you tell your kid, go clean your room. They're like, my room's clean. And you look under the bed, and it's all under the bed. Or did you finish your dinner? Yeah. And yet the plate is on top of his plate. There's another plate, and it's kind of at an angle. And half his food is underneath that plate. It's like, well, you know, what do you do about stuff like that? Rewards and punishment. You know, what's normal? What should just be expected that you should do as being part of this family? Where do you reward? Because we can overswing and just reward everything, or we could punish everything. We got to figure out, you know, where. Again, this takes wisdom. It takes time. Patrice is going to get in more of the how-tos later. You know, how much? Let's see, how much freedom and when? And of course, that gets challenging as the kids get older and they want to start spending the night at someone's house. Or they want to go hang out with their friends. And so just trying to figure out, you know, what that looks like. Again, we got to be talking. And again, as they get older, how much do they cover the cost for the phone, car insurance? Because it'd be easy to just do it all, or it'd be easy just to say, nope, it's all on you. So trying to figure out, you know, where do we help but not hurt, you know, where do we don't want to just do everything for them, but there's a role where we play in there.
So that when you're trying to think this out, how are we going to stay unified as a parent, there's like no one right answer. Oh, here's the right answer. We both can agree to this. This is great. Each kid's different. Each situation's different. There's no like, every time your kid does this, this is exactly what you do. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's right. There's so many factors. The kids' temperaments, their personalities come into play. That's right. There's no rule book for parenting. You know, you wish you could just go to page 3, paragraph 2, and gives you the answer.
Right.
It just doesn't, we know, it just doesn't work that way at all. There's principles for parenting, but there's so much we need to think about and pray about.
Mm-hmm.
Then we each have our own experience growing up and our own personality, like I mentioned, and we also have that in our kids. But even our own background affects us. I grew up in a much more lenient family, probably got away with stuff a lot more, where she grew up in a more of a stricter discipline, emotional yelling sort of household. Kind of opposites there. We just didn't like conflict, and theirs was just right out front there. So that affects us and how we parent and how we would make these decisions. We mentioned this earlier, but it does take time to communicate with each other. Sometimes you have to say no to other things and to be able to actually listen to each other. You just can't always do this on the fly. There's got to be some time. And sometimes, like again, in my mind, just resolving conflict is so big, and we'll get into this later, but you're not really going to be able to have this discussion if you're in conflict with your spouse on another area. Your own self-willed heart, that's a fancy way to say in our pride, right? It's who likes to be, you know, told their take on a situation could be wrong. And so it's so easy to take disagreement over a parenting issue as a lack of respect. So we disagree, so oh, that means you disrespect me. Or there's someone else I was just talking to about this, or it's a personal attack. So you're just disagreeing, and it's easy to go into that, oh, you don't respect me, or you're attacking me, when that isn't what's meant at all. But we can go there, so we have to be careful not to do that. You know, our selfishness. So you could, you know, if a kid has a certain amount of screen time, well, our selfishness would let them use all their screen time on my watch. So then when it's the other parent's turn, like, well, how much screen time does he have? None. So that we got to be careful about stuff like that, because we don't want to, if we have a rule, we don't want to mm-hmm. break it, but then we put the other person in a bad situation. So we are tempted often to make a decision that makes our life easier without considering the impact on the other person. The last thing is just, we have life, right? We have to go to the grocery store. We have to work. We have bills to pay. We have involvement in the community. There's just a lot of stuff going on. And so that's another challenge. So these are the reasons what makes it hard to be unified. Now, Patrice is going to talk about, you know, why you should work hard to stay unified and then how to do it.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. So, it's hard to stay unified with your spouse, isn't it? Yeah, somebody shake their head and say, yes. Matter of fact, we just fought this morning before we left, right? I told him I'm not changing another diaper till you change 10. It's hard in the heat of the moment. Anybody else fight on who's got to watch the kids when you're in a social arrangement, right? And you're like, how come you always get to talk to your friends and I'm following the kids around and you get to have fun and mine was you get to have fun and I don't? Man, oh man. And then I'd be the martyr and then I'd explode again. That was a pretty common pattern in our marriage. So we know it's hard. It's really hard. I was just talking to somebody with three kids. It's exhausting time of life. It is very hard. It's very demanding. And God really purifies your motives in this time of life. You thought you loved Jesus, but then you're like, but I'm really tired. Maybe I don't love Jesus quite as much as I thought, right? So you understand it. So why would you fight to stay unified in marriage? Because now looking at it, we're old. Man, oh man, it's great. It's great. We were fighting last night trying to get this teaching together. So then we prayed and we worked it through. And afterwards, we split a beer. It was great. But it took 30-some years to get there because I'd been a martyr and explode. So it's worth it. So why is it worth it? One, go ahead, please.
On the other side, she's the martyr explodes. I withdraw.
It's a great pattern. It worked really well. a sense of security for your kids, right? If you read any literature, that's what they're all going to tell you. But just think on the immediate. The sense of security for your child when your parents are unified, the rules are the same, the boundaries are the same, expectations are the same. I'm not even going to try to manipulate dad because I know he'll just say whatever your mother said, so it's not even worth the effort anymore. So in the very immediate, there's a sense of security for your children, right? Because just think how hard it is for a kid if dad says yes and mom says no. They're like, what in the world is going on? But in the larger sense, too, I think there's a great sense of security for a child if they know my parents are unified. They actually care for each other. They respect each other. They don't badmouth them when I'm around. And so it gives the kid the freedom to be a kid. I have a friend, an acquaintance now. She's 50. Her parents were not unified at all, and they stuck her in the middle of fights and all kinds. This was in more of an extreme case. And the disruption in her life has been staggering. She can't stand either one of her parents. She's moved thousands of miles away from them, won't speak to them. And now there's lots and lots and lots of factors, right? Lots of factors. But one of them was her parents were so disunified that it has really wreaked havoc in part wreaked havoc in her life. So I think, why do you fight? Why do you try to talk, stay up late and talk? Because you understand it will give the kids they're free to be a kid. They're not there trying to keep your marriage together, which is not the job of a child. But they're free to be a kid, to get in trouble and get dirty and all the kind of stuff that kids should do, right? So it's worth it. Again, we've talked about it. It's so much harder to divide and conquer, right? Mom said this, dad said that. And so what happens? Instead of mom and dad versus this teenager who wants to spend the night somewhere and we got to talk this through, all of a sudden is mom is too overprotective, dad's too permissive, mom's always yelling, and so it ends up being a fight between the two spouses over not even the issue of the kid. You know, your kid wants the kid wants a snack before dinner, you say no, dad says yes, and then the same thing. You depending on the age of your child, you put the age appropriate issue in hand. If you're united, then there's no this and being. No, this is what your dad said. Even if you don't agree with it in the moment, this is what they said, and this is. Now, I'm not talking about the extremes where you're putting a child at risk or something. That's not it. But you think, well, crap, kid can have some candy and shut him up, and I can get dinner ready. And dad says, no, all right, God, I guess no candy. Oh, right? And you say, okay, your dad said no candy. There's no candy. Because it's more important to be united than you're not. Then you have to not have to deal with your selfishness and being tired and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's much harder for the kids to divide and conquer if you're providing a unit. And it's not good for your kid. It is not good for your kid to think he can manipulate and get what he wants. Remember the Rolling Stones? You can't always get what you want. That was a common song in our house. You don't get what you want. It's not good to lie. You don't benefit when you lie. And so providing this united front is more important than your immediate thing, which is usually, it's an immediate thing, right? And somebody shake their head and say, yes, because we're all in this together. I'm still dealing with it, and I'm old. It helps build a strong relationship with your kids. So what do I mean by that? Let's say in the old days, when Mike and I were growing up, the dad was the heavy, right? Patty was your, yeah, Patty's old. Yeah. But dad was the heavy. Who laid the wood down when it came to discipline? It was dad. Mom was the nice gal. Dad was the bad guy. And it makes it a little bit harder for a kid to warm up to dad, whose dad's always the one who's really enforcing the discipline. But if you're united, then you both get to bear the brunt of an unpopular decision. But you both get to share in the benefits of the good decision, and it makes it easier for the kid to warm up to both parents. It's really unfair to put one parent in that one role and you just back off because you don't like discipline or whatever. It's not fair. You got to suck it up, ask God to help you, and play the and be part of this whole process. Because I didn't like discipline. It wasn't any fun temperamentally. I don't follow through. That would have been really unfair if I would have allowed that to go on and expect Mike to be picking up. That's not fair. And it's not good for the relationships with your kids. And you want both parents to relate to your kids well. And so work on being unified, which is, like Mike said, a lot of talking, a lot of listening, a lot of asking, why do you think that? What do you do? Why did you do that, all right? So it's worth being unified in parenting. It cultivates respect for both parents. Unfortunately, I think we've all seen this. We've all been guilty of it. How many times when the one person makes the decision and you roll your eyes like, oh, my God, in front of your kids. How many times, unfortunately, do you see it when the parents are divorced and you see the one parent just badmouth the other parent? We can do it really verbally, or we can do it subtly. But the same thing, when we do that, it breeds disrespect for both parents. It's not like you're going to win your kid over and they're going to think you're the neat parent. No, it communicates a lack of respect for both parents. But if you come across like, yep, that's what your dad said, he's a good dad, come on, let's clean the room, or come on, this is what dad said, let's do it. It cultivates respect for both parents because they see you the way you treat your spouse, the way the spouse treats you, both kids. Yeah. And so again, like Mike said, when you realize you are just a butt in front of your spouse and in front of the kid, go back and apologize to them both. And it'd be ideal if you could apologize to your spouse in front of your kids and say, wow, dad said this, or mom said this, and I disrespected her, and that was really wrong. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Plus, the more you have to apologize, the less you want to do it. I can guarantee. That's one of mine. You apologize enough, you think, shit, I don't want to do that again. Jeez. Right? Right? Somebody shake their head and say, yeah. Yes. You do it twice, and like, I'm going to bite my tongue. Right. Helps follow through with tough decisions. Again, I don't know the ages of your kids, but all of you, I hope, have those really hard discipline situations where you know it's just going to kill your kid. He's not going to get to go to the birthday party. they're going to lose their, when they get older, you're losing your cell phone for a month. And you know it, there is going to be a price to pay, right? If you're unified, about the time when you're ready to cave in, the other spouse says, nope, nope, that's what we said. This is what we're doing. And when you can't stand this, you know, the screaming fit, that's when the other spouse says, okay, I got it. We, years ago, we got to take our kids on a trip to Ireland. You would think, trip of a lifetime, right? Well, they didn't respond so well in some situations. And so when I was just about ready to lose it, I would walk ahead and say, Mike, you have to go talk to him. You have to be with him because I'm going to lose it. I'm going to be a really bad parent. And so we tag team. So it's that, right? It's that kind of thing. When you're unified, you have a common purpose. You've got a common goal. When you're just about ready to cave in on that, you know you shouldn't. Your parent that has been in agreement with you comes along, props you up, and you can follow through. So it's so worth taking the time to think and listen and talk to each other and respect each other. When you're unified in pairing, it just gives you more energy to invest in the kids. Again, how many of us spend so much time justifying our decision, or in your mind, or criticizing the decision of the other spouse? I can't believe he said that. That was the dumbest decision I've ever heard. And he didn't think mine was good. And I can't believe he couldn't believe. You just wasted energy. It's so much wasted. Thought energy, emotional energy, spiritual energy, time, as we're sitting around trying to justify our decision and critiquing their decision. If you take the time, if you work it out, if you talk it through and become unified, you have more energy available to invest in your kids. And some days it takes everything you have. The right when you get them to bed, you just fall asleep. And you think, my God, I'm lucky they're not dead. There was no blood. It was a successful day, right? Because, wow, we are as selfish as our children. They just don't hide it very well. They are the center of the world. They make it very clear. We think it, but we've learned to be a little more discreet about that. So it's a big battle sometimes, right? So some days you need all the energy God can provide to parent well. And so when you're unified, you're not wasting time on why you hate your husband, right? Like I wasted hours thinking he screwed me over the golf game. We talk about wasted time. Wow. So.
And I guess on that too, I'd just like to add, I can think of times where we've been totally disunified and, you know, to the point where I'm like, why did I marry her? And there's no way when you're at that far apart from each other, there's no way that you're going to be able to talk about parenting issues. You got to prioritize that and get that worked out. Yeah. And it seems like, I'm sure everyone in this room has been in that spot. When you're this far apart, you're like, oh my God. But that's where we bring God in. That's where we try to look and see where we've been wrong. And it's amazing how you can get reunified. And I always remember those times when I'm in, you know, a current one. It's like, you know what? We've been here before. We'll get it sorted out.
Yeah.
The energy, there's no way that I can focus on being unified in parenting if I'm really disunified from you or mad.
And then you can't parent well. You know, we've all been in that situation when you're mad, alienated at your spouse, and then you're snapping at the kids, you're impatient with the kids, or you let them do anything they want. Go hell, watch 6 hours of TV. I don't care. Just leave me alone. I'm mad. You wouldn't say it out loud, but I'm mad at your dad, and I want to keep fighting, so I don't care what you do, right? So, not that we ever did that, no. Right. But we know it. And then I think being unified in parenting becomes even more important to have the resilience when parenting is particularly difficult. When I was thinking about the tough decisions, it's that one decision. I remember our one son, he did something really bad and he had to choose. Do you want a spanking or do you want to miss a birthday party? I still remember that. It was so painful, but I'm like, but you knew the consequence. Oh, it was terrible. So that's that kind of situation. But I'm talking more about the situation where maybe you have a particularly strong-willed child, and you know this is a battle. We're going to have to stay vigilant and you get exhausted. Or your kids get older and they start to demonstrate their free will and they choose to walk away from the Lord and start making really dumb decisions. To when you're unified and working together as a team, God uses that with a lot of other things to give you the resilience that you need to just keep going day after day after day with the uncertainty of how this is all going to turn out. And so again, it is hard to stay unified with parenting. It really is. But it's well worth it because of all these things and so much more. So much more. You benefit, your kids benefit, and life is a heck of a lot more fun if you can swallow your pride, you know, ask the Lord to help you, and keep moving towards each other. But it's really hard sometimes. It's really hard. So, how to stay united in parenting? And this is probably what you thought, well, could we just get into this one much sooner? This is how Mike and I stayed united in parenting, is that we had an agreed-to framework for parenting. And for us, the agreed framework of parenting was God's word. Ultimately, it was what God's values were, what his words were, what he said was true. Now, this does not mean that we didn't read a ton of parenting books, and I used to come to these when our kids were little. I came to them religiously because it was at least an hour every month I had away from my children. But a chance to think, really, it was to be able to think proactively. At least once a month I had a chance, because most of it you just react to your kids, right? Diapers, feeding, da-da-da. And I thought, well, here is an hour a month that I could be around other mothers and I could think. So when I say that we use the Bible as our framework, as the ultimate authority, I would say, probably be a better way. I'm not saying we didn't read books or anything like that, but we looked to what God said was true to really instruct our parenting. And because of that, it impacted many of our decisions, how we disciplined our kids, what we would focus upon, how we defined success. Mike's got a great story of what the things we did focus on and what we didn't focus on with our kids. So you would tell him the story about Luke?
Yeah. We had some fairly challenging external issues. Well, you mentioned Luke. I don't think he brushed his hair for 2.5 years. And it would just, you'd touch one side and the whole, it was like a little dome that would move. It really looked horrible. And this is what he's in middle school.
Now, Colby, you don't have to tell Luke we told the story, right? All right? Luke's buddy's here, so don't tell him, okay?
Yeah, though he probably would laugh at this time. But, yeah. Anyway, it was just, it's like, all right, this hair looks like hell, but is this what we're really going to fight over?
Right.
And I know for me, when I'd take him out to lunch from school weekly or every other week and just walk in places and see the whole restaurant. Eyes just so, but again, it was like, you know what, this isn't the hill we want to die on, this isn't what we want to fight over. And so, anyway, that was just trying to figure out what do we, and there was times, apparently, I did some of it when our kids were dressed very interestingly, and Patrice just like, that's really interesting the way you dress the girls. Yeah. And but they had clothes on.
They had clothes on.
And it just wasn't worth.
It wasn't worth it.
Wasn't worth her going in there and changing them so they matched or something.
Yeah, we would have quite a few discussions. Is this an area that we really need to push on? But then we thought, no, the Bible says that honesty and kindness and generosity, those things are a lot more important than what the kids looked like. And so because we had this agreed upon that this is what we're going to say is what's going to guide our parenting, it helped us stay unified because this is what we say is important. I know I have a good friend who, her son was very gifted in leadership. So she told him specifically, don't do XYZ. Well, he did XYZ, but then he used his gift of leadership to lead his sisters into the same disobedience. Well, he got punished twice for his disobedience, and then for using his leadership gift that God had given him to lead people astray. I'm like, well, that's really a great idea. But her And she and her husband both were the same thing. Honesty, using God's gifts wisely, because they agreed, because they used this as the overall perspective, they could be unified. Now, you're going to have to talk to your spouse about this. And hopefully, you talked about it before you got married, that this is what we said, this is how we are going to raise our kids. If not, I'd encourage you to verbalize it. This isn't something you can just assume somebody will pick up. Well, and there are some people whose husbands or spouse or wives or husbands are not as interested in spiritual things as you are, but you're going to have to breach the topic. How, what will be, what are the most important things? How do we define success? And get it out there on the table and begin to talk about it. Because if you don't have this, you're going to have a hard time staying unified if one person says, this is where we're headed with our kids, and the other person says, this is where we're headed. So you're going to get, graciously, you don't say, well, that was a stupid thing. I can't believe you believe that. But talk about it and begin to talk. What are your expectations? What do you? And even if you do say, oh, yes, following God's the most important thing ever, it's hard to keep living it out. Are you willing to have the Lord expose other values that might be driving your own parenting? Mike and I were listening to a podcast with Margie and Tim Benedum. And in the podcast, she makes reference to a statement that Beth Hemsworth said. She said that Beth Hemsworth said, if kids never suffer, they'll never ever learn to depend on God. And what I saw in my own heart is I don't want my kids to suffer. I thought, wait a minute, Lord, I'm screwed up here. I'm being swayed by my own selfishness and other things rather than what you say to be true. And so even though our kids are out of the house and stuff, God is still exposing my wrong thoughts of what's the ultimate goal for our children. And so it was really, Mike and I were listening together. So it was a great discussion to have. How do we, as parents of adult children, stay out of God's way and let him work in their characters? And that's where it's helpful to have really good friends to help you figure that out too. So, do you have agreed upon value system of what the end goal of your parenting strategy is? And until that's somewhat resolved, it's going to be very hard to be unified. But to the degree that you can agree on that, talk about it, it's going to help you to become more unified. Find a way to resolve differences of opinion. Find a way to resolve. That's a hard one, right? Because I think Billy should play 162 sports. And the dad says, no, I think two is sufficient. The mom's like, no, more. No. So that's going to be a hard one. And so Mike and I did differ a lot on a lot of things because for lots of reasons. But because we had the Bible as our framework to live life, to how we parented, it also helped give us the framework, the grid work. How are we going to resolve differences? And so there are certain biblical passages that helped direct how are we going to resolve this? In Ephesians 4, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So when we disagreed, by God's power alone to be humble, I could be wrong. What were you thinking about this? Why did you make that decision? What do you think is good? To ask questions, to make every effort. That means a lot is staying up late, right? Matthew 7, that's the one, take the log out of your own eye so you can see the speck in your spouse's eye. Philippians 2, consider one another as more important than yourselves. Ephesians 4, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth except which is will meet the need of the moment and give grace to the hearer. Saying, I think that was the dumbest decision I've ever seen made. It's probably not fit in Ephesians 4:29, right?
Yeah.
So, again, it's by God's power. For Mike and me, it was by prayer, depending on the Lord, talking to our friends, that we could resolve. But again, we had this biblical framework to begin. How do we even begin to resolve these differences? When you're stuck, get somebody outside you, especially if they're a couple years ahead with their kids. pray that God would bring someone into your life whose kids are about 5 years older. I had a couple friends like that, and I have a friend like that now. I still go to my one friend, Yvonne. What did you do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? Especially when you're in conflict and we're too close to our kids. We can't always see it so clearly. And if you can find a friend who knows you well and your weaknesses and where you are not so good and where you haven't been so good as parents, it's super helpful. Super helpful. So get humble yourself. Say, we don't know. We can't resolve this. And get some help. Who's going to bear the brunt of the decision? When you can't figure out what you should do, the spouse who's got to carry the biggest ball on this thing should have the biggest say. You know, some parent would say, I think this kid should be involved in 96 after school activities. But you're saying, but I got to drive them every single activity, so maybe not that many. Why don't we discuss this a little bit more? And so that it only makes sense, right? If you are bearing the brunt, the weight of the decision, you should have a little bit more say in that thing. That's fair. That's fair. Another thing that helps when we're really at odds is, does one parent feel more strongly about an issue than the other? And we got one. Were you telling that story about Meals on Wheels, or was I?
You are.
Okay. Years ago, I went to some of this parenting thing, and they said, oh, it'd be so good if your family serves together. So without talking to Mike, I lunged. I said, oh, we're going to do Meals on Wheels once a month. So you guys know what that is. So you're going to get food and you go to these houses. And okay, well, nobody liked it. None of the kids. Mike didn't like it. But I felt pretty strongly about it. So we tried to do it for a couple months, and we were late. Kids were screaming. It was not really pretty. And I was getting irritated. I'm like, what the heck? This is really good. I'm right. You're wrong. Come on now. So we finally sat down and talked about it. And I could communicate why I felt strongly about it, why I thought it was important. He could communicate his reservations. And we worked it out, and we did it. The kids still hated it. They did not like it. I don't know if it was ever a pleasant experience. You know what it's like. Somebody is grumpy, and somebody is right. But we did it. We did it. But it was. I felt more strongly, but we definitely had to talk it and work it through and communicate why I felt so strongly. And then that helped us resolve. And it helped us resolve it, because I had a clear conviction of why we should do what our kids should learn to serve and be in an uncomfortable situation. And then when you're at odds, once a decision is made, by God's power, you need to support that decision. Again, we're not talking about some abusive thing. We're just talking about you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to give you examples, because you've all got them, right? That means no eye rolling, no sighing, no like, what the hell, under your breath. No. If you've worked it through, you've come to that conclusion, then by God's power, you want to do everything you can do to see that other person's decision succeed. Because it's not you versus them. It's what's best for the kids. This is best for your kids. So that's a hard one, right? Right, it's a really hard one. But this is your opportunity where you get to trust God. So, you know, there's a whole list of these. And at some point you may tune out. But pick one or two that strike you. Because there's a whole bunch of what we did to how we stay connected over 37 years, I think, now. There's a bunch of different ways. One of the key ones is that we stayed connected to our spiritual community. It sounds counterintuitive. Oh, you're going to stay united by being together. But the way we stay united is that we were heavily involved in our home group. And we went together. We served together. We had something outside of our children as the focus of our life. Our kids were terribly important. Golly, Neds, I am spoiled rotten when it comes to my kids. Spoiled rotten, how much fun they are. But yet, they weren't the most important thing in the whole wide world. It was following Jesus. And so, even like with Mike and I fighting over this teaching last night, because we had this outside goal, we got to get this together. Come on. And I got to quit being a brat. And so we worked it through, because there was something greater than ourselves. And so to stay united, it's not going to be focusing in on each other all the more. It doesn't work that way. I don't know how God has made it that way. But somehow, because we stayed connected with our community, we received encouragement. We received encouragement, vision, correction, energy to go back and work on stuff with each other, to serve our kids. Because the tension is there, right? The tension is there. I'm having my kids, I'm going to tribe up in my nice little home and blah, 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 blah. It didn't work for us. That's all I can tell you. What worked for us was to keep our eyes focused and be engaged with friends and other people.
Yeah, as a side note too, going to home church, it's an example for our kids. You know, God is important to us. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a, I guess at some level, an understanding. We're investing our kids elsewhere. Yes. You know, we would have weekly lunches with our kids. I do two one week and she'd do the other two and that sort of thing. So we're investing in our kids. So for us to go away for a night for home church, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So we would work hard. And I know with the pandemic and things like that, it's a little more challenging, but we really worked hard to have babysitters so we could at least go every other week mm-hmm. together. Maybe we couldn't always do every week together, but at least twice a month we would go together, because just even going together helps your unity. And then you're both there and you hear what's going on mm-hmm. and you can discuss it. So I would really encourage you to try to figure it out. And there's a lot of different ways you can be creative here. We know a situation where two families, they just rotate through. So one parent, they put their kids together. One parent watches those kids. The other three go. So you mm-hmm. get to go three times out of four in a month. There's different. We found a babysitter. We found a babysitter. Mm-hmm. God gave us this girl who had like 10 brothers and sisters. So having four little ones, it's like
nothing
to her.
Yeah.
So we just like, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever it is, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I see we're going long. Just got to spend time together. You just got to spend time together, talking not just about your kids, about each other. While you're together, pray for your kids. That is one of the most unifying things Mike and I have done. Pray for our children together. And we pray scripture together for our kids. So pray for your kids together. If you want to help, one thing to help unify, pray for your kids together. View your spouse as a teammate, not the enemy. You're on the same team. You got the same goal. He's not your enemy. She's not your enemy. Work as a team. You can do a whole lot more. I wish we had the time to sell some. So we were able to have extra kids live with us because we viewed each other as a teammate. Each one brings in different temperaments, strengths, weaknesses, right? Ask God to help you appreciate what your spouse brings to the table. Because I used to think I'm all that, you know? And then I'm like, what in the world? I would be lost without Mike. It's scary where I would be without him. I am where I am today to a large degree because of him. So that's how I look at him. And I realize I have some strengths, but wow, does he have strengths. He could come up with the craziest games to keep kids entertained. I'm like, how did you do that? You get your kids all ready for the beach and they're for 5 minutes and they want to leave? And you're like, no way. And he'd come up with these games like, wow. Show respect for each other. We've talked a lot about that, right? Show respect for each other. Apologize when you screw up. Don't ignore them. Don't badmouth them. Resolve differencing of opinions away from the kid. If you disagreed with a decision, wait till they're not around. Right? You don't have to fight right there, because the child will end up disrespecting both. Demonstrate simply, do you have house rules everybody agrees on? I had a list of all the rules, all the chores and that kind of stuff. Again, it builds consistency, it builds unity. All right. There's no guarantee. If you guys are unified, there's no guarantee you're going to get it right. You know, we don't. We can tell you that for sure. But God is super gracious. He is super, super gracious. And he takes our little efforts and does really great things. Really, really great things. So.
Well, God, again, thank you for this time. And thank you that our church has a structure. Because I know, like Patrice mentioned it, we've benefited it from many, many years. And I know I listened to a lot of the teachings if I wasn't able to go to them. So just the resources that you've given us. You've given us each other. You've given us your word. Mm-hmm. We're so blessed to have that.
Yep.
And we, like we said, being unified in marriage is a challenge, but mm-hmm. thank you that we don't have to do it alone. Thank mm-hmm. you that we have you and your spirit and each other. So I pray, like also what Patrice said, is just that there could be one or two things that people could walk away from thinking, okay, I'm gonna focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.